This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662. Or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about chronic fatigue syndrome and a particular study called the PACE study. I recently posted this on Facebook, and I got such a large number of likes and comments on that I thought I'd delve into the PACE study in a little greater depth here with kind of a clinical focus on the subject of chronic fatigue syndrome, and a study that has created enormous controversy. Now, you know, this is almost just a little ironic or paradoxical. You have a community of people who are exhausted and sick, have very little energy, and yet they're up in arms. It's almost like if you can imagine the Frankenstein movie, you know, where they storm the castle with pitchforks, demanding Baron von Frankenstein, or kill the monster. Well, these debilitated patients are a little bit like the village people of Transylvania, you know, storming the barricades because they're so upset about this PACE study. I have here a couple of articles that I'm going to base this commentary on. I'm quoting from an article in STAT, which is a science magazine by Julie Raymeier. She is a science writer, but she herself suffers from chronic fatigue syndrome and has written a kind of a summary of this controversy. Headline, "Bad Science Misled Millions with Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Here's how we fought back." So there's a sense of militancy here. Then also I'm going to use a little bit of the critique delivered by Dr. David Tuller, who's a Berkeley scientist. He wrote a very detailed critique of the PACE study in a blog called Virology. All right. So it's really kind of an interesting case study in conflict of interest and scientific malpractice. Because, well, let's look at what we're talking about. We're talking about chronic fatigue syndrome. And I once wrote a book called Tired All the Time, How to Regain Your Lost Energy. And when I published that book, I said specifically I did not want to disrespect the people who suffer from true CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, because that is an entity apart from people who are just tired. Tired and the word fatigue almost is an insult to people who suffer from the array of debilitating symptoms associated with CFS, or sometimes referred to as ME, myalgic encephalitis, because it's a devastating condition where, yes, fatigue and exhaustion is a facet of that, but also bodily aches and pains, and sometimes closely related to fibromyalgia, sleep disturbances, terrible brain fog, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, many symptoms of what's called dysautonomia. In other words, when you try to relax, your heart's racing and you feel alert. And when you try to put the pedal to the metal, you feel exhausted. And one of the hallmarks of this condition, and this is something that I ask when I talk to people, and I see a lot of fatigue patients at the Hoffman Center. Many patients complain of exhaustion, tiredness, and I ask them a lot of questions. And one of the questions I ask is, how do you feel when you exercise? And sometimes I get a response, I actually feel better when I exercise. And that is really sets it apart from classic CFS or chronic fatigue syndrome, because people with chronic fatigue syndrome are devastated when they exercise. They feel typically quite a lot worse. A group of British scientists decided to do a study called the PACE study, which had as its thesis that, and you just, you know, from the get-go, this sounds like, yeah, maybe this is an interesting thesis, is that people who have what's called chronic fatigue syndrome, there really isn't, it starts with an organic illness. Maybe they get a virus, like a, you know, some kind of mononucleosis-like virus, although we haven't really pinned chronic fatigue syndrome on a specific virus. And then this illness leaves them exhausted, and it leaves their immune system in a dysregulated state, and they don't feel good. When they try to resume normal activity, they feel weakened, and their symptoms recur, and they become exercise phobic. And this is to be expected given their deconditioned state, according to the model embraced by the PACE investigators. And so patients become fearful that they're still sick, and they decide they need more rest. So then, instead of undergoing a normal recovery, they develop what the PACE authors have called, quote, unhelpful beliefs, or, quote, dysfunctional cognitions. That's where the psychotherapy component comes in the PACE study. They want to do not just ordinary psychotherapy, but what's called cognitive behavioral therapy, which is designed to change your beliefs about a condition. It's commonly used in patients who experience symptoms of anxiety. You talk to patients about how they feel when they're anxious, and you try to explain to them that their sensations are merely that. They're merely sensations, and that these sensations, while they feel very real, are actually maybe a product of their cognition. And by altering their cognition or their perception of their symptoms, putting their symptoms into proper context, then that this will relieve ultimately their symptoms and they'll be less bothered. And instead of a vicious cycle of anxiety, they'll be in a helpful spiral of relaxation and recuperation. Well, the same thing they say could be applied to patients who have CFS. They could be guided through at first very gentle exercise and then gradually increased in exercise, so that they could become reconditioned and at the same time undergo cognitive behavioral therapy. And the cognitive behavioral therapy would be designed to encourage them to kind of tough it out a little bit about these symptoms and not be fearful that each bout of exercise is going to cause them to go into a deep relapse. The lead researchers of the PACE study touted these two treatments, an incremental increase in activity known as what's called graded exercise therapy, and a specialized form of cognitive behavioral therapy as effective in reversing chronic fatigue syndrome. They cited participant responses on questionnaires about fatigue and physical function, and they declared, and this is a public press conference, that compared to other study subjects, twice as many people on graded exercise therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy got back to normal. So this was published in The Lancet, and it was published to great acclaim, and then this got a lot of play, especially in the British media, but it even made it into the New York Times. The Daily Mail of London headlined, "Fatigue patients who go out and exercise have best hope of recovery, find study." The New York Times headline, "Psychotherapy eases chronic fatigue syndrome, study finds." And according to the British Medical Journal's report about the trial, this is a competing medical journal, some PACE participants were cured of their illness. So you can imagine the uproar that this caused in the chronic fatigue syndrome community. And it's a community of people who are very frustrated, very sick, but they're activists on their own behalf, because the research in terms of finding a cure for chronic fatigue syndrome is paltry. Their belief is that it is a, quote, bona fide illness, that there's a biological underpinning of this, that this is not a mental attitude, that it is quite different from exercise deconditioning, which is a very real phenomenon. But, people who recondition after long periods of sedentary lifestyle or idleness usually respond much more robustly to reconditioning programs than patients who have true chronic fatigue syndrome. So there was a lot of criticism of the study. And I'll tell you, how some of the problems with the study. First of all, in midstream in the study, they reclassified people's fatigue scores, which is very unusual. And it's like, that's a real no-no from a scientific methodology standpoint. An ordinary reader, like a layperson, wouldn't catch that. But scientists, when they see, like, whoa, what are you doing? In the middle of the study, you're reclassifying people. So actually, absurd as it may seem, people who were deemed recovered in this study may have been worse off than the people who were recruited at the beginning of the study. They sort of shifted the goalposts in the study. I'll read you some of the comments from people who reviewed the PACE study. Dr. Ronald Davis, a well-known geneticist at Stanford, said, "I'm shocked that The Lancet published it." He says, "The PACE study has so many flaws and there's so many questions you want to ask about it that I don't understand how it got through any kind of peer review." Davis has some skin in the game. He became involved in the field of chronic fatigue syndrome after his son became severely ill. So he really gets it about chronic fatigue. He says, quote, "Maybe The Lancet picked reviewers who agreed with the authors and raved about the paper, and the journal went along without digging into the details." Critic of the study was taken aback. He said, "Not only did the trial rely on subjective measures," by the way, it wasn't a double-blind placebo-controlled trial. There was no control. Patients got treatments which were designed to help. And oh, by the way, patients even during the trial received a newsletter which reported that the trial appeared to be successful for many of the participants. So, that really tainted the perceptions of the people within the trial, maybe encouraging them to report that they felt better. So they say this unblinded design made PACE particularly vulnerable to generating biased results. Dr. Ellen Clayton, professor of pediatrics at Vanderbilt, said lack of activity could not possibly explain the scope and severity of patients' symptoms. The level of response is much more than would be seen with deconditioning. Peter Rowe, a pediatrician at Johns Hopkins, an expert on the disease, called the deconditioning hypothesis flawed and untenable. There was so much controversy about this, and from the get-go, the study was done several years ago. The people who had an interest in exposing the flaws of the study demanded that the researchers release their raw data. That's customarily what you do when you want to re-examine a study, and they refused. And there was a lot of pushback. And it was only through a Freedom of Information Act request that they were able to get the actual raw data. And at first, they were dismissed as people from the chronic fatigue syndrome were dismissed as cranks. They were thought to be marginalized people who really were kind of nutcase people to question the study. They were described as vexatious. I love that. It's kind of a Britishism. They were vexatious about the study when they had good reason to question the study. And here's an interesting feature of the study authors. Now, this thing, I always say, sometimes when you look at a study and you're not sure why the authors drew the conclusions they did, you have to follow the money trail, because sometimes authors write stuff in defense of premises that ultimately gain them some sort of financial advantage. And so here it goes. The key PACE authors have longstanding financial and consulting ties to the disability insurance industry. So the disability insurance industry, the goal of the disability insurance industry is basically to deny people's claims, number one, to delegitimize illnesses. And since chronic fatigue syndrome is kind of vague, there's no real, I mean, they're doing research. They're beginning to see patterns in terms of blood tests. There's even what's called a microbiome fingerprint. But these tests are not yet ready for prime time. It's very hard to establish disability for chronic fatigue syndrome. It's easy to label these people malingerers or head cases or, you know, even though you realize they're not doing well, just to send them for a course of government-sponsored exercise and psychotherapy to get them well, to get them off the disability rolls. Remember, this is England, socialized medicine. They're into cost containment. So they say, the PACE authors have longstanding financial and consulting ties to the disability insurance industry. They've advised insurers for years that cognitive behavioral therapy and graded exercise therapy can get patients off benefits and back to work. Now, this is the part where it gets kind of dicey because there are ethics of science and there are requirements when you work with patients. So, you know, an obvious example is experimenting on patients like, you know, Dr. Mengele in a concentration camp. You have to have informed consent, and you have to have humane experimental setups. But part of informed consent is, yeah, okay, tell patients what all the side effects are of potential therapy you're offering them. I get that. But it's also to disclose to them conflicts of interest. And one of the big problems with this study is that while in a little small print at the end of the article, the authors did disclose that they had some industry ties in terms of disability insurance, you know, advice to disability insurance companies. They never disclosed it to the participants in the study. And that is a fatal flaw in any kind of study. So they say that the PACE authors did not disclose their industry ties, nor did they reveal this information to prospective trial subjects. And so when they asked some of the participants in the study afterwards, would this have impacted your decision to participate? One was so ticked off that she retroactively withdrew her consent and forbade the researchers from including her data. Two said the knowledge would have impacted their decision to participate. So, there you have it. There are some real problems with this study. And this is a battle that, you know, I have to give credit to activists within, you know, a chronic fatigue syndrome activist is kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? You know, the notion that some of these really weak and exhausted people can actually stand up for themselves and work hard to push back against a prestigious scientific journal like The Lancet and demand that there be some pushback against the notion that chronic fatigue syndrome is merely a psychosomatic disorder or a deconditioning disorder. I think that that's quite admirable. And that is actually what's happening. The PACE study has been assailed, has been delegitimized. And I think the consequence is that chronic fatigue syndrome research will be set back on its proper course, which is not to, I mean, look, not, and I'm not here to knock, you know, some good therapy and some good, very gentle reintroduction exercise. That may be to the good, but is it curative for the patients who have true CFS that's characterized by major metabolic and nervous system and immunological glitches? I doubt if those things are going to do much. And what it does is it trivializes the condition and it gets in the way of proper research, which is designed to discover what is the underlying flaw in these patients. What are some of the potential therapies that can, you know, whether they're nutritional therapies, diet modification, probiotics, you know, antiviral medications, which haven't really panned out too well. They've tried them. They've not done very well. Or immune modulating medications. These are, I think, the proper targets of research in related to chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. So there you have it. You know, again, the title of the study is PACE, and the headline, Bad Science Misled Millions with Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Here's how we fought back. And congratulations to activists in the chronic fatigue syndrome community who participated in this struggle. Really, truly was a struggle to shed light and put the PACE study into proper perspective. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.